Hi guys, welcome back to We Should Talk, a pop culture interview series from In The Know. I'm your host, Gibson Johns, and today on the podcast we have Connor Wood and Brooke Averick, who co-host the podcast Brooke and Connor Make a Podcast. If you've not listened to their podcast or seen some of the videos from their podcast, you have certainly seen their TikTok content. They have a really fun dynamic. They've become friends over the past several years through just becoming TikTok famous. And I love listening to them. I loved getting to chat with them, to pick their brains about, you know, making a move to LA, what it's been like over the past several years, what it's like to kind of go to these big kind of Hollywood next star events. Like, they went to the Variety event recently that kind of brought together a lot of like the stars of tomorrow, and they were in the room and they with a lot of big names, and it was fun to hear about that. And then I just kind of picked their brains on some other funny kind of current topics like music festivals, living in LA, bachelorette parties, things of that nature. And they were really fun to talk to. So keep listening for my interview with Connor Wood and Brooke Averick. Check out Brooke and Connor Make a Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And please rate, review, and subscribe to We Should Talk on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, so we're here with Connor Wood and Brooke Averick of Brooke and Connor Make a Podcast. I'm really excited to get to talk to you guys. How are you? How are your summers going?
Good. I'm good. Thank you. My summer is great.
Damn, Connor? Damn. Yeah. I can't believe it's like over. Summer's like
over. I know. And this is going to come out after Labor Day. So, you know, it's the final days.
You know what? Sayonara. I'm done. Sayonara. I'm good.
Why are we done with summer? Why are we done?
I mean, Brooke and I's AC, we brag about having AC. We're so much better, but it doesn't work. It never works. It's hotter in my room than it is outside, and the AC's on.
Are you guys people who travel all summer? Are you like, do you stay put? What's your approach to summer these days?
Connor travels.
Yeah. Yeah, I do, because my AC doesn't work. I have to challenge.
You got
to
leave.
So they're just... Someone just started construction, so
I can't hear. We're good.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I like to travel a lot. I still act like I'm in school, like I'm in high school, where it's like summer break, and people are like, "We don't do that because we're adults." So I'm like, "I'm gonna continue to do that." Mm-hmm. So I'm all about the remote setup situation too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in New York where it's like people want to leave every weekend, and it's like the overcommitment, and then once you're in it, it's like no, I want fall too. I'm with you guys. I'm ready.
Yeah.
Pumpkin spice lattes come out.
They're out. Brooke, they're out.
No, they're out, which is like kind of scary.
I've gotten three.
It's kind of giving like CVS putting out the holiday decorations like super early. You know what I mean? Like it's kind of,
controversial, but I support it fully.
Oh, you do?
Okay. I really do.
Can you put that into words?
It's just like, yeah, let's go. Especially in LA because it's always warm and you don't really get that seasonal feeling. Like yeah. Anything that we can do to make it feel a little bit more like fall, because I'm from the Northeast too, I'll take it.
Any little crumb you can get, we're going for fall. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I like it a lot as well, but it's like, you know, I like seasons and I like living in a place that skips all the ones, you know, like that's nice to me as well. So it's cool to be here in the winter.
Both sides are very true.
Yeah.
For somebody who isn't familiar with your guys' story and how you might have gotten connected, give me the Sparks Notes story of how you two met and then decided to like make it a professional relationship as well, making a podcast together.
Brooke, you're good.
You want me to?
You're good.
Brooke, you're good at this apparently. So okay. Let's go for it.
2020, like peak beginning of the pandemic, we both just like started randomly posting on TikTok. Connor had just, I think you had just gotten laid off, if you don't mind me saying.
No, go for it.
And I was teaching preschool. And I think we were both just like home, bored, started making TikToks. And then for whatever reason, they kind of blew up a bit. And we kept getting bucketed in the same group of like, oh, you remind me of Connor. Or, oh, you remind me of Brooke. And yeah. Like a few other people that were in that group. So that's how we got connected. And then eventually I went to visit Connor. And the rest was history. We moved to LA and we had lived together for a bit in 2021. And then I think we like very early on, we were like, oh, we should do a podcast. But like kind of just in the way everyone says that.
Well, it wasn't even us. Like someone asked us like YouTube, everything we posted together was going viral.
So right.
Everyone had been like, would you want to? Why don't you guys try to do it? And then we did it. And
did that not come from us at all?
I mean, when we got like the green light from the pros, which is like our team, because we were mm-hmm. so new to this whole scene, they were like, you should do it. And we were like, really? Like, if they tell us, you know, we were still waiting for a little bit of guidance because we were so new to it. Sure. And we were like, okay, if you told us to do this, like, you must be right. You're the industry professionals. We sucked so bad that, like, I hope I never get hacked. That's like my one thing.
From like the early episodes?
It's like textbook, stop giving people microphones.
Sure. So
what was that? Like a pilot without TMG, but yeah. That one's on now.
Got it. Yeah.
That's the piece of media that just...
Well, because I was going to ask, like, because the podcast just feels like it's like you guys having like what would probably be like an off mic conversation. It's just like, it's you guys, it's your dynamic and it's your mm-hmm. whatever. So what was that? What was so bad about the pilot?
It just was one of those.
We were trying too hard.
We were trying really hard to fit into everybody else's mold. And then what happened was we never actually heard back from that. So we understood like, hey, no hard feelings. We knew it sucked too. So
right.
Fine. And then a year went by. I actually started a different podcast that's it, living in Flop City as well.
Okay.
And so may it rest. And then we got another inbound for Brooke and I. And they were like, would you want to do this? And we were like, yeah, let's like run it back. We'll see again. And then we reframed it as like, let's just do what we would normally do. Let's just talk and act like it's right. not there. And then I always thought, like, I've always listened to podcasts. So I was like, let's just create something where we're just talking and it feels like people that are maybe working in the office that can listen to stuff, maybe doing something really monotonous, can listen to and feel like they're hanging out with their friends. And we get that now. People are like, I just listen to it. It feels like I'm with you guys. That was the whole point. So
I feel like was the lesson that like, okay, no, we've gained this following because we're just being ourselves. And like, when you try to fit yourself into a mold, that's not yourself. Like that people aren't going to respond to that. Cause they love you guys as just people.
Yeah, I think the lesson is like talk to each other, not the camera.
Sure. Yeah. 100%.
But we're there.
Mm-hmm. So if you were to describe the Brooke and Connor dynamic to somebody, again, who's completely unfamiliar, what how would you describe it?
I think what makes Brooke and Connor work is that we actually have like nothing in common except for our senses of humor, which I think is like the most important thing. But that makes it like even funnier when we just like Connor and I want to talk about really different things. So when Connor talks, I listen and have like genuine questions because I truly like don't know what he's talking about and would like to know more and vice versa. So I think that that's why it works.
Yeah. It's so authentic in the way of I'm like, we have a podcast. It's a two-way conversation, but like genuinely it's a learning moment one way or another. Like she's talking about something and I'm like, I don't know who, you know, Lin-Manuel Miranda is, so walk me through that.
Right. Why is he important? Exactly. Yeah.
That who is this man? And there could be someone else that's listening. It's like, I'm going to take this time too. And we never claim to be an educational podcast, but a lot of people are like, oh, I didn't know that cobwebs were old spider web. I didn't. I'm like, it's
no, they're silk.
Little tidbits where people are like, I didn't know that I was there with Brooke or with Connor learning that at the same time, which is kind of. It's
a two for one. You're killing two birds with one stone. Come on. You're making people laugh and you're teaching them something. Let's go.
It's not any information that's going to change the world per se, but like, it's just a day-to-day thing, which is, it's fun. It's light and it's fun.
Is there something big that you guys really have different opinions on that you really, really differ on? You have different interests, but like, what's something big that recently maybe you've like, I don't know, had a little difference of opinion on?
Connor, can you think of one?
No, like we don't really disagree a ton on. Oh, well, you said that you wouldn't allow your partner to sleep with their ex one more time if they're on their deathbed. I said, go for it.
Oh yeah, that was a big, yeah, I wouldn't. I think you also get the like female and the male perspective on things too.
Of course.
Which is good.
100%.
We don't really disagree as much as we're just genuinely uninterested or really interested in what the other person has to say.
But you're willing to hear it. But you're willing to hear what them explain why. Yes.
90% of the time. Yeah.
90%.
10% is really the kicker.
Where do each of you guys get recognized the most? And what do people say when they come up to you?
Oh, that's good.
Mine is
New
York for some reason and music festivals. That's it.
And what do they say? What do they say to you?
Say, they're like, oh, you're not 6'4". You're sure, you know? I'm like, oh, I never, you know, said that. But
I never said I was.
I actually have. I lie a lot. Assuming these people would never see me. And then they do. And they're like, oh, you're like tiny. And Brooke, what do they say to you about your height?
That they had no idea that I was under 5 feet, which is always, I think we both deal a lot with like the, oh my God, I had no idea you like actually look like that. Even though we say like, however many times, it's always that shock of like meeting somebody in person for the first time. But I think I get recognized the most at maybe like out at a bar or something.
Mm-hmm. So we're living in a height obsessed society apparently. Cause that's the first thing.
It always is the first thing for both of us.
So funny.
It's also funny with us too, because every time we're together or every time we're somewhere apart, they're like, where's Brooke? I'm like, she's not in my pocket. I don't take her around with me, and vice versa. Brooke's always like, every time, you know, every time we go somewhere, it's like, oh, is Brooke like behind you somewhere? I'm like, no, I'm alone right now.
It's a package deal. Come on.
No, it is. It's become that in a huge way.
And so you have merch that says this is kind of one of the signature slogans now, ethical clout chasing. Yeah. Define it for me. Define it to me and explain sort of its significance for you too.
Yeah, I was actually on Brittany Broski's podcast.
Love her.
I know, I was trying to think of where that came from. And she actually coined the term ethical clout chaser talking about me, because I have a tendency to be like, oh, I'm going to like take a picture of this person, I'll post it. It gives the vibe that I'm a lot closer with this A-list person, when in reality, I like had walked up and been like, oh my God, I haven't seen you since Easter. And they're like, sure, up. And then they're like, I don't remember who this is. We were apparently at Easter together. You take a picture. But we talked about this, Brooke, like last episode of the podcast, that ethical clout chasing looks different for everybody.
It does.
So it's
what's,
kind
another,
of,
what's another form of that? Like what's another form of ethical clout chasing?
I think you could do it in a workplace, honestly. Yeah. Like I ethically clout chase a higher up, someone who's one level up from your boss, where you're like, oh, I'm really tight with this person, to kind of, it's sounding really manipulative, which I guess in a way it is, but
not,
you know, you
thing.
Clout chase your boss's boss to make your boss like you more, you know, mm. Feel that you're really close with their boss, and it's like, okay, I gotta keep this one tight, like that kind of thing. Could you ethically clout chase a family member? I don't know, I haven't thought that far into it, but sure you could.
You gotta write the book on it. You gotta really dig deep.
There could be, because maybe there's an ant that's about to die, and you're like, I want to get on this will. Time to ethically clout chase. I don't know. It could look different for everybody. It's like fly fishing. It's an art form.
Sure, sure. Brooke, how do you out ethical clout chase? Ethically clout chase.
Yeah, that's just another one of our differences. I'm very shy and not outgoing, so I'll just kind of watch Connor do it in amazement and, you know, take a back seat to that.
Okay.
But he's helped me a few times.
That's what I was gonna say.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, but you were both at, okay, I feel this is a good example. You're at the Variety Power of Young Hollywood event. You're both there. There's like, it's probably like a room filled with like a bunch of people that you either know or like just watch on some sort of screen. What was that like? And is that a place where you would do that?
Yes, yeah. Connor. Yeah.
It is, and yes, it was. I did it all over. I couldn't stop myself. I couldn't hold back at all. And it was fine, because in those rooms, it's less of like an ethical clout, because the boundary is already down. It's like you received an invite. You're supposed to be here, which took me a long time to be like, why am I in this room?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I was invited to be in this room. So I'm cool. I'm chill. I'm just like them. These are my peers. Looking at Sabrina Carpenter. Yep, that's my peer. Steve Lacy. That's going to be my peer over there. So then it like took that whole thing down, where it's like, I'm not ethically clout chasing. That being said, give me that photo so I could post it. But it was like a lot more relaxed. Brooke was doing her own thing the entire time, which was hilarious.
Brooke, what were you doing the whole time?
I was just, I took some photos of just with myself in the photo booth. I didn't.
Just like in every corner.
Did,
okay.
No, I did. You know, I got some, I was brave and I was a big girl. And I said hi to some people that I'm a fan of, but.
Like who?
I really love Noah Schnapp. And so I kind of set my eyes on him and worked up the courage to say hi to him all night. And I finally did at the end. So
congratulations. Really, I'm proud of you. That's
Thank
great.
You. Thank you.
Noah?
What?
Picture with Noah. You guys were hugging on.
Yeah, I did. No, I did. I was brave.
Yeah. So like, I feel like when like the general public sees like the influx of content from an event like that, it's very unclear like what's actually happening at that event. It's just like, is it just people like kind of, you know, meandering about, taking pictures and meeting people? Like, what do you actually do at an event like that? And is it, I don't know, was it like sort of enlightening for you guys to come into it, something like that, and be like, oh, okay, this is how it is?
Yeah, I think it's really just like a mingling thing. It's like almost networking. And it's funny, we're always thinking, oh, we're TikTokers. But then someone will come up to us that we're like, oh, you're on Netflix. And they'll be like, I listen to the podcast. It's like, okay, there's like no degrees of separation anymore with like the internet. So
it's just a different medium. You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly.
But the reach is pretty similar, which is crazy. So like where we think that we're talking about this event on our podcast in the privacy of our own home, like they are hearing it. You know, there's the people that received awards that night that are listening to the podcast. But yeah, at the event itself, it's like a lot of those things are like a lot of the same people go to these events. You see someone like two or three times, and then it's like, it's like I said, like it's like seeing someone else in the industry.
Yeah.
I also think like I would consider like a lot of those people like our working colleagues. Like we don't have an office, so we don't get to see anybody. So it's really nice to like, it's kind of like our one night in office, I guess.
Totally. It's a work event.
And yeah, but it's fun.
Holiday party. Yeah, totally.
We're very lucky.
What other things have you picked up on over the past couple of years from being in the industry? And I mean, that's a huge lesson too, I feel like. And that's how you get over imposter syndrome, is just like recognizing that like it is kind of an equal playing field in some respects. But like, what are some of the other things that you guys have really had to like sort of internalize or learn as you've gone along?
I'm still working on getting over my imposter syndrome.
Okay. Valid. Yeah.
So I will let you know.
Thank you. I expect an email. Yeah. Thank you.
Connor, I feel like you're really good at it. Like you were saying, like you feel like you deserve to be in that room, as you should.
No, I just have to remind myself that all the time because other people remind me. I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe we're here. I think I've gotten past it a little bit, but I kind of don't want to because it's like, this is, sounds
keeps
so...
You.
Yeah. Well, it's like, it's so cool. And it's like, this is such a new thing for us still. It's been 2 years that we've started to be invited to these insane things. It's like, okay, now I'm like, I'm dressed up. I'm going to go to the red carpet, like make sure I'm on time. It's like, hold on. You're going to what? And you're doing what with who? It's like insane.
Yeah.
And it's been so many times where it's like, oh, I know what I was going to say. I was listening to that song by Billie Eilish, that new one, What Was I Made For? And it's like, when did it end all the enjoyment? And I was like thinking, I was listening to that in the car. I was like, oh my God, that's happening now.
Deep. It's very deep. Yeah. It's you don't want to get jaded. You don't want to get jaded.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to get jaded at all. And it's so nuts and so cool. So it's like the dichotomy of appreciating it and not just like letting it fly by, being like, oh, I gotta get ready for this amazing event.
Yeah.
And like being,
that's a good way to put it. Cause I've always like kind of wished that I was less anxious in those situations, but I guess if I'm ever less anxious, it's like, oh, who's that girl? So.
And I feel like being anxious is just like, it's another like way of like just excitement manifesting itself within you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And like, that means that you're getting enjoyment out of what you're doing. Like you're in I think that to me, like that tells you that you're in the right place, you know?
Yeah. That's a good way to put it.
You know,
I also wouldn't have a podcast if we weren't absolutely word vomiting every time we went to an event. I can't believe we still get invited, to be honest. Like it's a matter of stop getting invited, I'm sure. But it's we always do something so stupid at these.
What's an example of that? Like where you're like, oh my God, why the hell did I do that?
Any interaction either of us have with anybody. Brooke,
interactions are hard.
They really are.
I'll do one that was really funny. I think Brooke, the one ethical clout chasing moment where sometimes I have someone that I really want to meet, someone like I'm a fan of. I don't have a ton of people I'm like, oh my God, oh my God. So I have had a couple, but Brooke really likes Matthew Gray Gubler. And there was an event where I saw him approach and like, I appreciate him. I respect that man, but I was not scared to be like, hey, what's up? And he had a button that fell off. And I had a friend bring two safety pins because my pants were falling off. And I had an extra safety pin. So I went up and I offered him the safety pin. He's like, you just saved my life. We're talking. I can hear from behind me screeching. God! God! And I'm like, that is the sound of Brooke from And she sees me that I've now approached MGG. And so I facilitated that intro. And then Brooke had her own words to share with Matthew Gray.
Love that.
And those words were horrible. And if I could go back to one moment in my life, it would be that. And I would be chill. Because I wasn't being chill. I was screaming.
There'll be a next time. There'll be a next time. You can be chill. It won't be as, you know, intimidating. And you'll just do it.
Yeah.
You'll be back in that room, you know? That's...
Maybe.
What were the words, Brooke, that you said?
Well, he said that you saved his life because you had a button. And then I said to him, no, you saved my life.
I knew that was coming. Yeah. Okay.
He said, listen.
Okay. So the line's moving now at this time.
So I wanted to end just going through like a couple of random topics, just getting your guys' thoughts on them. And one of them, I mean, I guess we're kind of talking about it now, which is just living in LA. Cause you guys made the move to pursue this career path. What's something that you really like about living in LA, and what's something that you're like, you don't think you'll ever kind of come around to?
I will never come around to how far apart everything is. Like Connor and I live like traffic 45 minutes away from each other. So
5.6
miles. Like it would be faster to run.
Yeah,
exactly. Which I won't be doing, but.
Certainly not. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
The weather is amazing. And like, you truly have everything here. Like there's beach, there's mountains, there's like
pumpkin spice trees, lattes,
yeah, trees, exactly. And yeah, whatnot, and pumpkins, and there's a little bit of everything. So I do love that. And it's nice not to have that seasonal depression familiar with growing up on the East Coast.
Yeah.
Just get the regular depression. I like and I hate, like, this is like the smallest huge town that I've ever lived in. Like, I know everybody. Like, I just went this morning for coffee. I knew every single person that worked at the coffee shop. I ran into like three people. I'm like, I thought this was like Los Angeles. Like, isn't this like the city somewhere? Like, it's like the biggest, I don't know, it's huge, but I know everybody. Like, I go to West Hollywood even, and I'm like, I run into people all the time. I don't like being in the car all the time. That sucks. But I also love being in the car.
Yeah. I live in New York and I miss the car time kind of. Like I'm glad I don't have to drive anywhere, but then I'm like, I kind of wish I could like just sing along to music in the car, you know?
That's nice. It's just not nice when you're not moving at all.
Yes, totally.
Yeah, I don't like getting ready to go somewhere and being like, okay, although it is 6.5 miles, it's gonna take me 2 hours and change to get there. And so like I need to bring two alcohols in the back of this Uber so that by the time I get there, like I've, you know, I'm primed and ready.
I feel like sometimes I just be like, I don't want to go if it's going to take that long.
No, I don't go to anything anymore.
That's hard too.
Yeah. Yeah.
industry is tough too, because it's like, you have to go. So it'll be like a day at 5 and I have an event at 7. I have to leave my house at 5 to get there. You know, it's like 2 hours. And New York, I love, because it's like, all right, I can get here to here, I'll get on the train, I'm there, you know.
Yeah, the immediacy is why I love it, you know.
Subway, right?
Yeah, totally, exactly. I'm sweating my entire body off, but like, it's, you know, I still don't have to drive.
Yeah. And I'm also, I have a meeting at, you know, in 30 minutes after this, I'm gonna go to the beach and get some sun on my face for half an hour and
love it.
That's
unbeatable. Yeah, that's unbeatable. Yeah, totally. Okay, music festivals. I know that you were just at Outside Lands, Connor. Brooke, I know that you went to Coachella earlier this year.
Yeah.
I don't know if Connor, if you went, but like, what are you super into them right now? What I feel like, because I've been going to Coachella for like 5 or 6 years, and I feel like in that time I've noticed like a really big change in just like the culture around them. What are our thoughts right now?
That was my first ever music festival.
Okay, did you like it?
Well, I loved it. And I had never been to a music festival because I just had no interest and thought I would hate it because I don't like crowds or concerts. So it was like, oh, no, no brainer. Don't go. But I went with a brand, and I truly had like the most amazing time. And I think it wasn't super crowded. I think it was like just a very specific group of people that were interested in this year's headliners. So it was like Harry Styles kind of situation. And it was just like chill, and there was great people and food, and I had the best time. And I wasn't
were you going to like the side parties too, or were you like mostly at the actual festival?
On the grounds the
whole time. Love it. Okay. So you love concerts now. I love that for you.
I love Coachella. I love 2023 Coachella. Okay. And I'll leave it at that.
You don't want to do a blanket statement?
No, not yet.
I skipped Coachella this year because I had such a rough time last year. I just like,
again, a rough time in what way?
I mean, it was so crowded and it was so, not complaining, thirsty. It was like, and I pride myself on this stuff, ethical cloud chasing all the way, but it was like, what do you guys hear? Do you guys know there's a concert today?
Right.
Crazy. And I did go to like a lot of the side parties and stuff, and it was the exact same thing over and over. But I go to ACL. This will be my 14th year going to ACL in Austin.
Wow. Oh my God.
It's less of like a scene, like you're going for the music, and you also don't have to like fight your way to the front. People are like, you can sit in the back, chill, you can hear the music. It's a lot smaller, a lot less like brands involved, which I think helps a lot, because like not every
it's a
brand
more pure experience.
Yeah, they're not trying to do like, you know, the Dyson vacuum experience, come into our tent. It's like, go watch the music and then have a beer, you know, like that's the whole thing. I also like Outside Land was awesome. Like I loved that. It was all about music. It was super crowded, but it didn't feel that way because no one was like, it wasn't body to body. It was like people standing, huge crowd, but you can like people let you walk by if you need to get to pee or like see your friends.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe Coachella is just might be a little bit too accessible to people that I hate.
And it's about so many other things other than the music at this point. So it's like, yeah, I totally get it. Bachelor and bachelorette parties. I just want your thoughts. You've never been, but like, okay, what do you think of the culture around them though?
This is like a big thing on TikTok recently, and I'm not sure this is what you're asking about or if it's relevant, but now that there's all this like etiquette about like, is it ethical to like ask someone to like get on a flight and pay for that flight for your bachelorette party and your wedding? So that's just interesting. I don't know how I would feel about it. It seems fun. I'd love to go. I'd pay for a flight, but
try to get to like some random person's bachelorette party.
Because then there's no strings. You're just
I go, and then as soon as I'm not having fun, I'm gonna head out. Mm-hmm. I love
Irish
it.
Exit.
I love the idea. What I don't like is like, this is your last hurrah. That's like feels very toxic to me. I don't like that. That's why I have a friend who just asked me. I introduced these two people, my roommate and one of my friends growing up. They asked me to ordain their wedding because I forgot I'm a minister.
Okay.
People forget I'm a minister because they see me and they think that's not a minister. I say, well, you'd be don't judge a book.
Put it in your TikTok bio. Just remind people. Just put it up there.
Ordained minister. So they asked me to ordain. And then my buddy called me and he's like, hey, we're going to do a bachelor party. And then his fiance is in the back, like, we're doing like a thing together because she gets FOMO. You know, I'm good friends with both of them. So I think the wave, unless you hate your future spouse, should be to have a co-ed party with everybody.
Like, I love the idea of a co. I think it's great. Like it's, yeah, it's a like, preview of the wedding, actual wedding party. Yeah.
One should do it all together. Why would you ever split your group? They're going to, and then they know each other at the actual wedding, both groups of friends. Like, it's like, that's perfect to me.
I love that. I love that.
That's fun.
Yeah, I agree.
I'd love to be a part of one day.
Yeah, you will be. You dream big.
Yes, for sure.
All right. So, I mean, the podcast is what, like a, you know, like a year and a half old. You've been doing it for like a year and a half or so. What are your aspirations for it, and sort of what also beyond the podcast as part of the industry? Like, what do you guys sort of have on that vision board for yourselves?
Yeah, no, I think we just would love to be able to reach more people, and we've talked about doing like live shows eventually, mm-hmm. Which will be really cool. We're excited at the idea of traveling and just getting to see people because we've never really had any sort of like in person event. So that's something to look forward to for sure.
Yeah, I think we've got a really cool setup with TMG. They are all about growth in every direction. So we are kind of going into different mediums for YouTube, like actual things where we're boots on the ground in a physical location that isn't the studio, which people really like. They like us interacting with people that are not just us too. So I think a lot in the YouTube space, different videos, and then yeah, live touring would be sick down the road.
I love it. Well, this has been so much fun talking to you guys, and congratulations to all the success. And you know, I'm just excited to see what comes next for you guys. You deserve it all.
Thank you so much.
Of course.
Thanks for tuning in to We Should Talk. I hope you enjoyed the interview. You can find out more about In The Know at inthenow.com. You can follow me, Gibson Johns, at Gibsonoma on Twitter and Instagram. And you can listen to all of our interviews, past and future, by searching We Should Talk wherever you get your podcasts. Hope to see you next time.